we didn't speak about kina yet. We didn't learn it yet. Okay, we spoke. The last thing we spoke about was kas. We spoke about anger and different kinds of anger or whatever. And then we went through the Mesillas Hasharim. Okay, the next mida that he speaks about is kina. And also he speaks about being totally free and clean from that mida. So first you have to understand what the mida is, so you understand what the nuances and subtleties of kina are. Kina is included in one of the Aseres HaDibros, Lo Sachmod, right? That not allowed to anyway, in the Sefer, we're not going to really go into the Sefer today. Why don't we give a comprehensive hakdama to the Inyan of Kina? It basically is embodied in an Isser in the Torah of Lo Sachmot, not to covet, be jealous of something somebody else, somebody has. And Shaila, whether Lo Sachmot you're over only if you do something about it, or even just you want it. From some Rishonim, the Ibn Ezra's, but for sure it's mashma that you're over just from wanting it. Others hold it losach mode, you have to actually do something and actually get it. Otherwise you're not over the Yisr of losach mode, you're still over kina, but you're not over losach mode. But there's another Yisr of losisave, and that talk you're over even without any maisa. And I guess the main thing over here is that you're jealous of somebody else. Okay, you want something that somebody else has and you want it. Okay. So on the surface, what's the problem? People can't want things. They see something nice by somebody else and they want that thing. Right. So the truth is that if you see something somebody bought, right, they bought a nice watch, and you can go buy a watch like that too, and you want the watch because you see by them you just found out it's a nice watch. So l'chora, that's not kina. I'm not jealous of his watch. I just got an idea that there's a nice thing to get and I want to get it too. Jealousy is where I want his thing, right? Because maybe I can't get another watch like that, or I want we'll see one second what it is, but it's wanting his thing. I want it, not him. That's more or less what it is. That's why the Yisra Lo Sachmon, if it has to do with Maisa, means bothering him and bothering until I get his thing, till he'll sell it to me or whatever. Call him up 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, sure you don't want to sell it or whatever, until he says take it. And then at that point, according to the Rambam, that point you're over. In any case, so what is kina? What's the issue?
You don't want it anymore.
Right, because yours, right?
And then you call him up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Does that apply also if you can't get the same thing?
What? If you can't get the same thing and you just want something like that, that's not kina.
No, but I mean, that's it.
Not only that, according to many, it's not losach mode if the guy wants to sell it. I see something nice and the guy's interested in selling it. I don't have to bother, I just ask him one time, would you like to sell that thing? And he says, yeah, I'm allowed to buy something from somebody, right?
No, but I mean, let's say, for example, the limited edition, you know, a particular number or...
Yeah, and he doesn't want it, he wants the money.
No. Well, he doesn't want it, he's not interested in selling it.
Yeah, then that's losach mode. Okay, so let me just ask a few questions. You've mentioned this, sure, other places. Some of the other things I speak about in other places, never mentioned Matthew Kyo, because I assume that it said, but I'm sure at some point in the last 30 years we mentioned these things. Again, you'll hear it again, or you'll hear it for the first time. One or two. So a few questions. First question. The Isra of Losachmod, right? The Torah says Losachmod, Eishes achicha, v'shoro, v'chamoro, v'chol asher l'reyecha. Eishes reyecha. So the Torah uses the same verb, losachmod, to describe wanting your neighbor's wife and wanting your neighbor's donkey. L'cha'ora, they're not the same feeling. Unless there is something seriously right about the donkey, or seriously wrong about the wife, or seriously sick about the guy. One of the three, right? It can't be that you want your neighbor's wife the same way you want your neighbor's donkey. The Torah, they're different feelings, so why did the Torah group them together all under the same verb of losachmod? First question. Second question. The Svarim say, it's really a medrash, the Vilna Gaon says it also, but really a medrash, that the first five dibros correspond one by one to the second five. Except the first five are more bein adam l'makom, and the second five are more bein adam l'chaveira. The first five are more spiritual, the second five are more physical, material. But they correspond parallel one to the other. Four of them, very simple to see the connection. First one, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? To believe in the Rabbanu Shel Olam. By believing in the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you are intensifying God's spiritual image in the world by believing it. And that corresponds to Lo Sirtzach, because since people are created in God's image, when you murder somebody, you decrease God's image in the world. So Emuna is increasing God's image spiritually, and Ritzicha is decreasing God's image physically. That's connection. Second, Lo Yielecho Elohim Achirim and Lo Sinaf, adultery. Right? Idolatry and adultery go together. Besides the fact they sound alike, but they're a different reason. Because a woman going after a man that's not her husband is the same thing as Klal Yisrael going after gods that are not our God, going after other powers. It's spiritual adultery. This is, and the Torah uses those euphemisms to describe idolatry as if Klal Yisrael is an Isha's, what's it called, Znunim, and going after strange men or whatever. They're going after strange gods. So it's a tremendous parallel between the two. Next one. Losisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. I don't take God's name in vain, don't swear falsely, and don't steal. Right, Lechara. Stealing is a physical aveira, but how does a person cover up his stealing? By lying and swearing falsely. Right? Or that's a spiritual way of getting things that don't belong to you by swearing falsely. Right? By swearing that this guy owes me money, or this didn't happen, or whatever. So the spiritual way of getting somebody else's property and the physical way correspond one to the other. Next. Zocher Shem HaShavas L'Kadsho and Lo Sana B'Riach HaYitsho. Don't give false testimony and keep the Shabbos. Shabbos is a testimony that God created the world. If you're Mechal Shabbos, you're giving false testimony. That's in the spiritual realm, and here you're giving false testimony in the physical realm. So they mamish fit perfectly. The last two don't seem to fit. Lo Sachmot, don't covet somebody else's thing, and Kabedes Avichav Simecha. Where does Kabedes Avichav Simecha have a connection to Lo Sachmot? So they say what the connection is, a very flimsy connection, right? That if you'll be homemade, you want somebody else's wife or whatever, and you have kids, and they won't know whose father they are, and you won't be able to have it. But it's a real roundabout thing. There has to be a closer, more direct connection, just like the other four. So we'll get to that. Next, Ibn Ezra asks, how could there be an Isser Lo Sachmot? Right? He for sure holds that just wanting the thing is awesome. In other words, you're walking down the street, you see your neighbor in a nice new dress, and you say, wow, I wish I had that dress. Just wanting it like that, you're over the Isser. So Ibn Ezra says, how could the Torah prohibit such a thing? Right? How could you control it? You see it, you want it. It's automatic almost. The Torah could say, don't do anything about it. Don't bother the guy and get the dress, don't steal it, don't force him to sell it like the Rambam holds. But don't want it? It's like a natural thing. You see something, you want it. How can you prevent being over that issue? That's the Ibn Ezra's question. His answer is the following. He says that people only want something that they feel they have a connection to, that's in their league. He gives an example of a pauper, a peasant who doesn't covet the king's daughter because he knows it's not in his realm. There's no way in the world he'd ever marry the king's daughter, so he doesn't even think about it. People think about things that they know are shaykh to them. I could get that dress, like whatever. But I don't, you know, necessarily want something that is not bichlal, not shaykh to me. The example I always like to give is you have a shoemaker and a doctor that are neighbors. And the shoemaker gets the state-of-the-art sewing machine, and the doctor gets a state of the art sonogram, or what's it called? What is it called? Ultrasound, right? Ultrasound. So, or MRI, right? So, it's the shoemaker is not going to be jealous of the doctor's, you know, ultrasound. Why? Doesn't need it. It's not no shaykhus to him. He doesn't need an ultrasound to know what's in his shoes, their feet, right? So what in the world does he need an ultrasound for? And the doctor is definitely not going to be jealous of the shoemaker's sewing machine. Right? If he sews up his patients with a sewing machine, he's not going to be a doctor too long. So he doesn't need it. It's not his realm, bichlal. But let another doctor get a better sewing machine, another doctor get a better ultrasound, or let another shoemaker get a better sewing machine. They'll be jealous. The doctor will be jealous of the doctor. And what's the idea? The idea, before we get to what the Ibn Ezra says of why that, it says rekev atzamos kina, that kina rots your bones. Okay, so you can understand it literally. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Rekev atzamos kina. You can understand it literally. When a person's jealous of somebody else, it eats them up alive. They can't eat, they can't sleep, that it just bothers them to no end, right? The jealousy, and it leads to all different kinds of depression and hatred or whatever. So, rekev atzamos, it mamash rots your bones. But there's another meaning, and that's the following. Like the Ibn Ezra says, where does kina come from? Kina comes from the fact that I'm not happy being me. I want to be somebody else. I want what somebody else has because I feel that it has shaykhus to me. The Ibn Ezra says like this, if I would believe that a person comes into this world, he doesn't say it exactly, I'm telling it to you, but this is what he means. If everybody would believe that when you come into this world, you are given a task to do. Your neshama is created with certain midos that fit your mission in this world, right? And that's your personality, and you're given in this world, it's like a play. Everybody has a part. Every part is different, and every part is necessary for the completion of the play. Okay. And you're given a part, that's your neshama. You're given a costume to wear, that's called your body. And you're given props, that's called your material possessions. And what you need to fulfill your part, that's what you're given. And just because one person has more props than the other doesn't make his part better or more important. Just means that for your part, you need more things. Or if somebody has a body that is deficient, he's crippled, he's blind, or whatever it may be, doesn't mean he's any worse or less than somebody else, just that he needs a different costume. This is the costume he needs to be able to function. You could have somebody who's the king, and he has one costume, right? He's through the whole play, he wears just a royal robe and a crown, and he has a scepter, that's his only prop. And then you have another guy, he's a court jester. He has 15 different changes of clothing, right, during the play. He has 15 different props. That doesn't make the court jester more important than the king. It just means to fulfill the role of the king, you only need one suit of clothing, one costume, and one prop. And to do the role of the court jester, which may not be more important than the role of the king, you need 15 props and 15 changes of clothing. So somebody has more props, better costume, or whatever, doesn't make his part more important. It just makes it different, that's all. Okay. So everybody gets their part, they get their costume, and they get their props. And there's no place for jealousy. Because if I understand that that's what was needed for that person's unique portion in this world, there's no shaykhus to me. The Rabban Shem gave it to him. Because the king's going to have a jealousy that he doesn't have, what's it called, the bouncing balls that the court jester has. What does he need it for? Right, he's a king. So, and the court jester is not going to be jealous of the king's crown. He's not the king. He doesn't need that. So not going to fit his part altogether. So if a person really believed that the Rabban Shem apportioned out each person's part for what they need for their Avodas Hashem, what they need for their mission in this world, and what they don't have, they don't need. Right? So if you can get it, it was one thing. But if he has it, like we said, right, it's not just I want something like that. but I want that. No, it's one of a kind. The Rav Moshe gave it to him because he needs it. You don't need it. So if you would have that, then it'd be like the doctor and the shoemaker. Right? It's not my realm. So there'd be no place. If you have the right hashkafa, says the Ibn Ezra, then you won't come to even start to have kina for somebody else. You only have kina because you think that this thing is shaykh to you. Why does he have it? I could have it. So if you think like that, then in Echanami, as soon as you see it, you want it. You can't control it. But if you have the right hashkafa, having the right hashkafa will make it controllable. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. So, based on that, the Isser of Losach mode of Kina is not wanting something that you don't have right now. Right? Because otherwise people should have no ambition, never want to buy anything new, because, and if I see something by somebody else, right, and I know that it's beneficial to them, right, they got a new, vegetable slicer, or what's it called, or peeler, and it's right, a really nice one, right, so I want to go to IKEA and get the same kind of thing, right. There's nothing all wrong with that. That's not called jealousy. But if it's something that's specific to them, and I want it, I want it because it's theirs, that's called kina. So basically, the basis of kina is, I'm not happy being me. I want to be somebody else. I'm not happy with my chelek. It's not sameach b'chelko. I'm not happy with my part. I want somebody else's part. I don't want to be the court jester. I want to be the king. So I want to be him. If I want to be him, then I want his crown and I want everything else. Memela, the Torah says, lo sachmod, if you want the wife because of her merits, right? I like a life like that. I like a donkey like that. Then it's a different feeling, right? You want the donkey for a different reason. You want the wife, hopefully. So the that's first of all probably okay, right? But I don't want these things because they have merit to themselves. I want them because they're his. Because I'm not happy being me. I want to be him. And to be him, I need his donkey and his wife or whatever, and everything he has bothers me because he's. That's what's important, not me. I'm not happy with my part. If I'd be happy with my part, why do I need somebody else's part? I'm not happy being me. So that's the basis of kina. The basis of kina is, that's what it says, rekev atzamos kina. Atzamos means the etz atzmius, the essence of the person. A person, and the Gemara says on that in Shabbos, what you want, you won't get, and what you have, you'll lose. So normally we'll understand that it's a punishment. Right, you want something that's not fit for you, so you're going to be punished. Not only aren't you going to get that, you're going to lose what you have. But it's not a punishment; it's a metzias. If I don't recognize what I have, then it atrophies. Then I don't develop it, and I don't use it, and mamela, I lose it. So if I only concentrate on what somebody else has, I want to be him. I want to have his things. I want to, right? Then I don't concentrate on what I am and what I have and my chelet, so I'll lose it automatically. That's what it means. What you want, you can't get. You can't be somebody else. And you'll lose what you have because you will totally ignore developing and making use of what you have because it's not important to you. So therefore, when the Torah said, losachmod, it's the same verb. It's not wanting it for its merits. Then it's a different verb. You want the wife for a different reason than you want the donkey or the cow or whatever else it may be, right? But if it's because I want to be him, I don't like my part, I like his part, then it's all the same feeling. I don't want it for its merits, I want it because it's his. That's the underlying inyan of kina. In Mela, there's a tremendous connection with Kibbud Av V'Em, because who can really respect their parents? Somebody who appreciates who they are, because your parents made you basically who you are. But if you're not happy with being who you are, then you're definitely going to tell a psychiatrist, right, your therapist, right, that, you know, I really don't like my parents because they made me somebody. I wish they would have different parents, or somebody, parents who made me somebody different. So it's a tremendous affront to your parents not to be happy with who you are. So therefore there's a tremendous connection between Kibbud Av V'Em and Losachmod. Because if you're not happy being who you are and you dafka want to be somebody else, then you're there, well, first of all, very upset with your parents, and second of all, in itself is an affront to your parents because they made you who you are and you're not happy with that. So there's a tremendous connection between losachmod and Kabelis Avicha Vesimecha. As a corollary to this, the Torah says, V'lo yachmod ishes artzecha ba'aloscha leiros es p'nei Hashem elokecha sholosh pan bashon. The idea being the following. Three times a year we have to go up to Yerushalayim, Aliyah L'Regel. So even though it's only men that have to go, women don't have to go, but what man's going to leave his wife home for Yontif, what's it called, and just leave her there? Right? So the women went also. It's a Simchas Yontif according to many, and the woman too, right? And the Maisa, what's it called? Some say that's why by Sukkot it says extra Simchas Yontif because the women are in the house. But in any case, but men take their wives with them, their children with them. So basically, everybody picks up, leaves their homestead, and goes to Yerushalayim for Yontif. Okay, there's one big problem with that. Who's guarding the homes? Okay. And don't tell me the soldiers and policemen, because they have a mitzvah also of Aliyah L'Regel. They have to go also to Yerushalayim. So all of Klal Yisrael in Yerushalayim. So you're leaving your the Oref defenseless. So Rav Shem says, don't worry. I give you a promise. Nobody will want your land when you go up, and your animals will be able to roam freely, and nobody will come and take them. Your home, nobody's going to take over your fields or whatever. They're not going to attack with nobody to defend these things. Don't worry about it. Nobody wants your land. So he's bothering me. Why is it Rosh Hashanah to tell him, just tell me they won't take it, right? I don't care if they want it or not. They could sit home and chalish for it. Just don't let them take it. So why did the Torah have to promise, they won't take it, right? They won't come and invade. But they don't want it? Who cares what they want? So why did the Torah have this promise me, lo yachmod ishes artzach? So, based on this idea, let's explain that it means the following. The purpose of Eretz Yisrael, why did the Moshe give us Eretz Yisrael? So the secular Zionist idea, Herzl's idea was, we should be like the nations of the world, normal. Right? We didn't have a land, we were in Golis, right? We lived on other people's land, spoke their language, use their economies, right? We're parasites. We're not normal. If we just have our own land, our own language, our own police department, our own and Achad Ha'am, our own criminals and perverts, he said, we'll be normal. And then there's no reason why they hate us any more than anybody else, which I don't know how great that is anyway, because they hate each other too. But they wouldn't single us out, right? We'd be part of the whole nation of world of nations that everybody hates each other anyway. But wouldn't hate us because we're Jews, because we're special, because we're different. And therefore, part of secular Zionism is to be normal, not to be different. And meaning that Judaism also makes you different, and Torah makes you different, so eventually you have to get rid of that too, and just be Nia Kechol HaGoyim Yisrael. It's secular Zionism. So is that, that's not obviously not the reason why the Rebbe gave us Eretz Yisrael. Because if it is, right, it didn't work. Because now we're normal and we have all those things, and the nations of the world just love us, right? They just don't know what to do first for us. They're just, you know, tripping over each other to do favors for. Not only didn't it solve the problem, it created a new problem. Because until the state of Israel, anti-Semitism, to a certain degree, was very unrefined. Right? Hate those Jews. Why? Because they have long noses or whatever. It's a very unrefined kind of thing. It was a racism. But now, Goyim hide behind, I don't hate Jews, right? I mean, Ahmadinejad hates Jews. Look at the Turi Carter that goes to him, right? And they give him presents. Did you ever see, that thing? It's a disgusting, mamash, you know what I'm talking about? Somebody sent an email with a video of these Meshugoyim. That's Donim Lekatzvos. Because if they're not total Meshugoyim, they are Roshoyim Gemurim. People are out of their mind. I mean, you see what they... It's like you just put Hitler there and see all these, you know, guys who look really from. They're not. They're just a bunch of clowns. Right? Go on record. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that people could be like that. Okay, I'm getting off the thing, but it really boils my blood. In any case, so... So, what's it called? He's not Chas V'Shalom. He's not anti-Jewish. He's anti-Semite? Chas V'Shalom. Right? He's just anti-Israel. He's just anti-Zionist. Right? Except, who are the Zionists? All those people with the long noses, right? From the Neturei Karta, and if they think that if he drops an atomic bomb on Medinas Yisrael, he's going to exclude Neyeshorim, right? They have another thing coming. So, you know, they're big friends of him or whatever. He's an anti-Semite. Clear. But now he can refine it. Chas v'shalom, I don't hate Jews. I just hate Israelis. Right? I hate Zionists. Who are the Zionists? All those Jews. But it's much more refined. So we create a new anti-Semitism. So what is the purpose? Why did the Rebbe give us Eretz Yisrael? Just the opposite. Because he wants us to be able to create a society with our own values and standards where every facet of life is Kodesh. Goyim just have to live a life of morality. That's all. They don't have to be holy. They have to be moral. That's all. We have seven mitzvahs. The Maharal says seven is a number of nature. We have mitzvah bris mila on the eighth day. Eight is beyond nature. They have to remain within nature. We're beyond that. So we need a place where we can create a lifestyle of Kedusha. Right? If we live amongst the nations of the world, we'll be influenced by them. So we have to be separate from them, right? Insulated, but not isolated from them, because we're supposed to have a hashpah on them. And they're supposed to learn from our lifestyle how to at least live their lifestyle. But they can't be the same lifestyle. So if we all live together, even the best of the goyim, we're going to come to the lowest common denominator. So the Rebbe Nachman gave us a land, and the Gemara says, Omad vayimodei the Eretz. The Rebbe Nachman measured every land, and he found no land more suitable to Klal Yisrael than Eretz Yisrael, and no people more suitable to Eretz Yisrael than Klal Yisrael. We're a holy people with Hashgacha Pratis, a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is a holy land with a special relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. So we fit each other like a glove. Right? And this is the place where we can develop our unique kind of society. It's not supposed to be for the rest of the world. They're not supposed to have the same society. They're supposed to be moral people, fine people, not holy. They don't have to be holy. They can eat treif, and they can don't have to keep Shabbos, and they keep the seven mitzvahs, that's it. And they can be fine, fine, moral people and get a chelik in Olam Haba. They don't have to be holy. We have to be holy. Right? If we're not holy, something wrong with us. If they're not holy, there's nothing wrong with them. So the Rav Amishram gave us a place where we could develop that kind of society. That's called Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is conducive to that kind of society, where every single thing in Eretz Yisrael becomes a mitzvah. The Chasam Sofer says, anything that helps settle people in the land, any profession, not just agriculture, anything. You're a shoemaker in Eretz Yisrael, you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because people need shoes. They won't be settled in Eretz Yisrael if they don't have shoes. Everybody has to walk around barefoot, people aren't going to make aliyah. Right? So a shoemaker helps people settle in the land. Anything that helps settle people in the land, connect the people to the land, which is part of what enables us to have that kind of Kedusha, is called Yishuv Eretz, a mitzvah. Everything becomes a mitzvah. In fact, it's interesting, Sam Sofer says, when that is the case, when Eretz Yisrael is with a Beis HaMikdash, right? So then, that which it says that you can learn all the time and not work is only in Chutz La'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, you can't learn a kol all the time, in that time. You have to go work. Why? Because you can't say, I'm going to learn all the time and not put on tefillin. You have a chiyuv to put on tefillin. So if everything becomes a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you have a chiyuv to be involved in that mitzvah too. So you can't pocket yourself by learning all day. It's a mitzvah shebegufa. You have to also be involved in that mitzvah. So it says the Chasam Sofer, that halacha, that like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that Toroso Noso, right, is only in Chutz La'aretz. My Rav Shimon bar Yochai was in Eretz Yisrael. Exactly how that works out, I'm not 100% sure in this Chasam Sofer. That's what he says. And he says, therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, when Eretz Yisrael will be in its full Kedusha, whatever, you won't be allowed to have kololim, where people learn all day. You have to be involved also in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says. It's not Rav Kook who said that, it's Sam Sofer said. So in any case, it's a little different today, that where Dafka Eretz Yisrael is the place where they have the Torah Sul Nosu and Chutz La'aretz. A lot of people are, you know, combine a worldly occupation with Torah. In any case, so that is what's it called, that's the Mile of Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Torah says. The Torah says, and what's the purpose of going up Yerushalayim three times a year? Because there's two parts of Eretz Yisrael. there's Yerushalayim, just like there's two kinds of Jews. There's two parts of Klal Yisrael. There's Shevet Levi, Shevet Yisachar, who are Torasum Nosam. And then there's the other Shvatim who combine an earthly, what's it called, profession with Torah. And it's the job of the Kohanim, Leviim, right, Lomdei Torah, to influence the others that they should do and involve themselves in the world in a way of Kedusha, to guide them or whatever. Same thing. There's Yerushalayim, and that was mostly the place where the Kohanim and Leviim lived, in Yerushalayim, right, especially the ones who were on duty. And the yeshivas were Kimitzion Teitzei Torah, the yeshivas, the Rashi Yeshiva, the Talmid Chacham were basically in Yerushalayim. And the rest of Eretz Yisrael was given out to people who were involved in the kind of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. This one was a sailor, and this one was whatever the different Shvatim did. Right, a farmer, whatever. Three times a year they had to go to Yerushalayim and learn what Kedusha was. So then they could go back and apply it. That's why the Gemara says, how come a lot of the amenities, Gashmistic amenities, are not in Yerushalayim? They're in Tveria, Chamei Tveria, right? It's hard to get a hot water in Yerushalayim, but it'd be nice if there was Chamei Tveria there. So why did the Rav Moshe put Chamei Tveria in Tveria, not in Yerushalayim? Right? The beautiful fruit of the Galil is in the Galil, it's not in Yerushalayim. Why did the Rav Moshe give Yerushalayim the covet of having the fruits of the Galil and Chamei Tveria? So the Gemara says, because three times a year you have to go to Yerushalayim, Aliyah L'Rego, and the Gemara didn't, the Torah didn't want you to go for nice fruit and for a hot bath. Why don't you go to Shem Shammai, right, for ruchnistic reasons? But the Chamei Tveria are in Tveria, and they are in the Galil. That means that part of Eretz Yisrael is where you take the physical and the spiritual and combine it. But in order to do that, you have to know what the spiritual is. So three times a year you go to Yerushalayim, learn what Kedusha is, and then apply it back home in wherever you live in Eretz Yisrael, and combine the Ruchnis and the Gashmis. The Nela, if you go up three times a year, the Torah says, Lo Yach Modish Tzarzach. They won't want your land. Because what is Chemda? You want something that you feel you have a connection to. That why should they have it? I want it. But if the Goyim see that we live in Eretz Yisrael, right, a life of Kedusha, why would they want it? That's not the kind of life they want. That's not their bichlal, their thing. Their thing is morality, but not Kedusha. Even the best of the Goyim. Why would they want a life of Kedusha? They won't even want your land. So of course they're not going to take it. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael and don't go three times a year to Yerushalayim, and you live like Goyim live, a secular existence in Eretz Yisrael, then why shouldn't they want it? If you're living the same kind of life they live, it's a nice land for you, why shouldn't they want it? Then they'll want the land. But if you live a way that's clear that Eretz Yisrael has no shaykhus to them, then it's like the doctor and the shoemaker. What do they need an ultrasound machine for? They're happy with the sewing machine. So if you want that the Goyim shouldn't want Eretz Yisrael, then live in it in a way that they have no shaykhus to. So then why would they want it? But if you live the same way they live, then why shouldn't they want it? That, so that is, in a nutshell, kina. Kina is basically wanting to be somebody else, not happy with who you are. And in order to be that person, you need this thing of his and that thing of his. That's the underlying idea of kina. It's not wanting things that you don't have and seeing it by somebody else and getting the idea that, hey, maybe that's a nice thing to have. It's wanting to be somebody else. It's wanting it because he has it. And I'm not happy being me, I want to be him. That's the underlying. You may not think like that. You may not be expressed 100% like that, but that's the underlying foundation of Rekev Atzamos Kina. And that's why it's the Keneged Kibud Av Va'Em.
One point. Rav said a number of times that defining Kina, that's wanting what that which someone else has as opposed to just wanting it. He's seeing it and thinking, oh, he wants it and wants to go to the store to get it. There's a middle case that also is kina, where somebody wants and doesn't want the other person to lose it, but he wants it because the other person has it, not because he thinks it's a nice thing. He wants it because the other person has it.
Yeah, okay, that is mamash kina.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean you have to take it away from you, but I want it because you have it. I want to be like you. That's enchana. That's more what kina is. The kina sofrim, right? Somebody has good mido, so they know a lot of Torah or whatever. That you're allowed to have kina, but only if you want it, not because you want to have their thing. You want to be the same as them. I don't want it because I want to be like you. Because then, what's the test? What happens if you lose it? I'll be just as happy. I don't have to have it. I just don't want you to have it. But if you have it, then I want it. If you don't have it, then I don't want it either. I don't have to have it. But I have to have it if you have it because I want to be like you. So if I want to have that neither because I want to be like you, but I'd be just as happy if you lost that neither, then that's not kina sofrim. But if I want it because I see by you that that's a nice midah, and I would like to have that midah too, right? And I wouldn't be happy if you lose it. I see that's the kind of thing. Like, I see that you have what you call a nice potato peeler, right? And I think it's a good thing to go buy a potato peeler like that because it'd make my life easier, right? And I wouldn't be happy if you lost your potato peeler, because not that I want to be like you. I just want to have something that I see by you that's a beneficial thing. So that's not kina b'chlap.
Okay.
Kibbut Avaim is, in order for me to respect my parents, I have to be happy with who I am. Because my parents made me who I am. If I'm not happy with who I am, then first of all, I can't be too happy with my parents. And second of all, it's an affront to my parents that you're not happy with who we made you.
And that's why teenagers go through a stage where they are known to be chutzpahing because they're having their identity crisis. They're not happy.
Right, and they're not happy with who they are. If people would be, if you give these children more of a, you know, identity, not so much self-esteem or something like that. That's taken to an extreme. But at least that they understand who they are, what they are. They're happy with being who they are. They won't have to, and they wouldn't rebel against their parents because I'm not happy with parents because I wish I had different parents because the other parents would make me somebody different. I want to be that other person. So to some degree, that's the root of that kind of rebellion. It's an identity crisis. And once you don't know who you are, you're not happy with the people who made you like that.